ever considered the environmental impact of the content you create?
I think there's no denying the disposable nature of much of today's content creation. Do you have any tips for creators on how to integrate more responsible, sustainable practices into their creative work?
It is possible to make eco-friendly choices without blowing your budget or slowing down production. Sometimes they can even make your content better.
So let's put the green in green light and explore how you can produce with purpose while reducing your impact on the planet and your wallet. Hello and welcome to First Frame, where creators come for answers, brought to you by Tell a Story Hive. I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. And on this season of the podcast, we're diving into practical and ethical challenges facing Canadian content creators in 2026.
With insights from emerging creators, seasoned pros, and industry insiders, it's our goal to give you clear and actionable advice you can use right now.
Canadian content creators need a podcast to call home. This is it.
Every decision you make as a creator adds up. Which gear you use, how you power it, where you shoot or record, and even how you handle food and props can affect both your budget and the environment.
It's true. Sustainability isn't just a buzzword. And whether you're making a podcast, a short film, a TikTok video, or even a live stream, you need to understand the risks and make intentional choices.
So today we're exploring how creators can be green, clean, and efficient while still making content that shines. And to help us do that, I'm thrilled to introduce Angelica Siegel, a program manager at Producing for the Planet. Angelica, thanks for joining us and welcome to First Frame.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
Let's kick things off by learning a little bit more about your organization and its goals. So what is Producing for the Planet all about and what's your role there?
So Producing for the Planet is a national coalition here in Canada. We have over 100 production companies who have made a commitment to take climate action in the media industry. And we work with these producers, we work with these companies, and we work with industry stakeholders as well to advance the resources and tools that producers have to bring sustainability to their sets, the availability of funds that are in the industry to take green action. And we also talk about on-screen content, how producers can put climate change on screen in their creative and in the content that they create.
It's great to know a little bit more about your organization. Let's dive into our green conversation. And I think we should start with some definitions. So first off, what exactly does a green production look like?
So a green production in our definition has a couple of different angles. The first angle is a production that reduces the amount of emissions that it creates. So that's carbon emissions from fuel, from generators, from travel. It also is reducing the amount of waste that comes out of a production. So that can be material waste from building sets. It could be wardrobe and props. Or it could be the food waste from catering a production and the material that's required to bring a group to set and to get everybody working on the production together. So we really focus on these two categories of trying to reduce these things as much as possible. And that's what we would see as a green production. But the third pillar is on screen. So the kind of content that we create can also be involved in a green production. So you really have the behind the camera and of course on screen as well.
I'm having the reduce, reuse, recycle triangle running through my head as you're speaking.
Absolutely. That is still totally relevant to all the work that we do.
What are some of the main obstacles that creators then would face when trying to create something sustainable? And is there a cost that has to come with that?
I think one of the first challenges is the idea of this is how we do things. So this is a big roadblock for people. They know how a production has run before. Maybe they've been doing it for a really long time. And so shaking up how we do things feels uncomfortable for people. We really try to work with producers and content creators to reimagine the culture of the content they're creating and to be excited to do things in a different way, to try more innovative ideas, more innovative logistics, to emphasize efficiency and streamlining, which has really great impacts on sustainability. So these are some of the things that kind of are initially a roadblock for people.
Now, I have a question for you because obviously you work in this industry and you've probably seen a lot. So I'm hoping you might be able to share some examples of wasteful practices that you've seen that like sort of really make you shake your head.
For sure. We've heard a lot of very wasteful examples. The biggest one is always fuel. So that is, you know, the fuel line in a production budget that goes to generator use on location and all of the different transport that's involved, whether that's the unit moves or even just crew driving their own vehicles to a set. So fuel always takes up the biggest part of a production's carbon footprint. And that if anybody wants to make an impact on their carbon footprint and reduce the emissions, that is a big category to try and tackle. And we can share some ideas on how to do that later on. I think another example really comes down to planning. So in big budget workflows, for example, talent isn't always hired or the script isn't always locked before going to camera. And that impacts all the departments. For example, I spoke with a costume designer once, and she was preparing for production where the actor wasn't hired yet, and they were going to camera soon. So she had to buy the wardrobe in every size and multiple versions and would return the sizes that she didn't use. But in the fashion world, we know that returning clothes doesn't always mean that that clothing is going back on the floor to be sold. It's often just thrown out. So the idea that we can just buy a lot and then return it because we haven't kind of prepared ourselves more upfront has really negative impacts for sustainability down the line. I think also there are creative choices. So for example, I heard a great example from my colleague recently about a food fight being written into a scene. That's an enormous amount of food wasted on top of the food that's being served to the production itself. And so we would consider, is there a way to achieve that creative moment and to accomplish that part of the plot line without a food fight, with something that is less demanding in terms of materials? So these are just some different ways that we try to get producers to think about not only the logistics of the production, but also the creative choices and then the impacts of that to actually deliver on that creative.
You mentioned choices, and some of our creators feel like individual choices don't really move the needle. How would you respond to that type of a mindset?
So at Producing for the Planet, we actually wrote a guide specifically for emerging producers, indie producers, low budget productions, and content creators to address this exact question. Because certainly with these types of content creation, there are smaller budgets, which are inherently smaller footprints, but there's still a lot to be said for low budget and indie content creation and the perspective and the culture that people are setting around these productions. So we actually like to say it's a low budget advantage. Low budget productions are often greener than a big budget production simply because they can't afford more expensive options that come with the big carbon price tags, like a lot of location moves, like a lot of crew hands on set. They often work with, you know, volunteers, with a smaller crew that's wearing a lot of different hats. And so that is great. That is more sustainable, but they're certainly not off the hook. I think producers and content creators that are in this space have an opportunity to set a different culture and to not eventually find themselves falling into that quote unquote how we do things as they might get bigger budgets or get bigger productions going. When you're starting out and you're setting the foundation for the kind of culture that you want on a production or in content creation, it's really important to set that based on your values, based on wanting to do things in a better way, based on wanting to be better for the planet, better for the people. So that's the opportunity that we see for low budget and indie producers and content creators. They tend to have shorter shooting schedules. They drive and fly less. They also have less pressure from stakeholders. So all of these things give them an opportunity to really set that stage how they want to and do a production really based on their own values.
Would you agree also that there is a mentality of, you know, I'm making a small film, I don't have to worry about it because, you know, I wouldn't make an impact. But I also think it's that mentality of, if you think of fundraising, for example, maybe someone doesn't have $25,000 to give, but if 25,000 people put in a dollar, you've reached your goal. And so kind of that same mentality with this, if everybody does a little bit, there's so much more of an impact.
Absolutely. Everybody plays a role in the emissions that come out of the media industry, whether you're making a big production or whether you're making a small one. If you are participating in our industry as a producer or a content creator, there is a responsibility that you hold to do things the right way. And that includes even if you have a really small budget, a really small crew, that doesn't mean that you don't have to think about these things. It means that maybe being more sustainable is easier for you, but it certainly needs to be something that's still on the table and still talked about, included in the production meetings and included on call sheets or included in all of the messaging that you want to include and the way that you set the stage for your crew, no matter how big they are. Even if it's just two people, you know, how much do you drive? How did you organize your locations? Even things like the types of materials that you chose for your wardrobe, or were you on the road and you got a lot of fast food and you produced a lot of waste from your food while you were shooting? Could you have brought your lunch? Could you have brought things with you? This also goes for shooting in environmentally sensitive locations. So no matter your size, if you are in a location that is environmentally sensitive, whether that's a park or somewhere outside that's close to a delicate ecosystem, you have a responsibility to not make an imprint there. And that applies across the board at any scale.
You've touched on a lot of areas, but one thing that keeps coming up in conversations that we are having with our guests, AI always comes up.
So this is a really interesting question. We're doing research right now on the impact of AI and also virtual production on a production's carbon footprint. So I don't have an exact answer for you today, but it's something that everyone is really curious about. Mm-hmm. I would say there are a couple of things to consider here. I'll use virtual production as a starting point. If you can reduce the amount of travel that is required to achieve your creative by filming on a virtual production stage, while there may be energy consumption required to run that studio or run that stage, that doesn't compare to the reduction in the fuel emissions for driving somewhere or flying somewhere. And so that is a balance. You can actually calculate that balance. You know, what would have been the emissions from the travel versus the emissions of being on a virtual production set? And typically it does really positively impact a carbon footprint to opt for virtual production. One of our signatories, Dark Slope, is a virtual production studio based out of Toronto, and they did a lot of the virtual production for Heated Rivalry. So the scenes in Moscow, the scenes in Florida, those were all filmed on the virtual production stage. They were really well done. There's lots of analysis of how they made that work really well, but they were a small budget production, a really tight, logistically tight production schedule, and they really had a positive impact on their footprint by opting for that. When it comes to AI more generally, there are going to be places where AI helps, where you don't have to, for example, shoot a historical reenactment for a documentary because you can have AI generate that for you. There's also going to be places where, of course, there are serious concerns about how that replaces talent in the industry and what the environmental impact of running AI and running data centers and all of the kind of behind the scenes things that are required for AI. And that's what we're exploring now. But in terms of the kind of preliminary analysis of where it can help and where it can hinder, there are certainly places where it can help. And we're trying to better understand where it can hinder from a sustainability perspective.
I am loving this conversation so far, but let's take a quick break for the fun part of the podcast, shall we?
Yes, good call, Cam. Angelica, we like to play a little game called 1 Minute Mentor. So in 60 seconds or less, we want you to share the best piece of advice you've ever heard when it comes to being green.
So being green isn't a solutions issue. We have all the solutions we need to be a much more sustainable industry, whether we're making low budget productions or big budget productions. Sustainability and being green is more of a behavior change issue. As humans, we have our behaviors, we're comfortable with them, we know what we know, we like what we do, and changing that feels hard. So the approach that we really take is to see sustainability from a culture and efficiency perspective and not to see it as some extra thing that you have to do or an extra cost to your budget. It can actually be a completely budget efficient approach to a production. And that's really what we want people to see it as: efficiency, streamlining, innovation, and not as some extra burden that they have to also think about on top of all the other things that they do.
Now let's get back to the meat of our conversation. Or since we're being green, maybe I should say tofu instead.
That's a great one.
Yeah. For creators who want to do better but don't know where to start, what's the very first sustainable choice you'd recommend?
First, I would say we have an emerging producer guide on our website. That is a great place to start. It's not very long. It has a ton of great tips for what a green production pipeline looks like, how to build a green culture with your team, how to empower change, things like understanding the basics of a carbon footprint and how to measure that for your production. So I think that's a really great starting point. Like I mentioned earlier, if there's one place you want to start beyond reading our guide, it would be on the fuel line. So on the fuel line, you have the generator use, you have travel, and keeping that to an absolute minimum will have the biggest impact on a production's carbon footprint. The next one is material waste. So whether that's the costumes that you choose or the food that you have on set or behind the scenes, keeping that to a minimum, keeping the waste that comes from food to a minimum, that's a really great place to focus. And I think also focusing on what kind of content you put on screen. For example, we're not only talking about a full climate story or an environmental story. There are also much more subtle ways to put climate action on screen. Firstly, by avoiding unsustainable behavior. So we don't want to see characters driving big trucks or throwing things out or leaving food uneaten on the table. There are nudges that a producer can choose to have on screen, using a reusable water bottle, having a solar panel on a house in the background, putting things on screen that help shift our social behavior in subtle ways. And that's also something that we really like for indie creators and emerging producers to think about, because those can easily be woven into stories without even changing the character lines or storylines at all.
Now, you've mentioned fuel a couple times. So if fuel is sort of the worst offender, what are some ways to reduce fuel use or some alternative energy options that our creators can consider?
Yeah, so especially for low budget or indie productions, you typically aren't moving huge units, right? You're not having a ton of camera trucks or a big circus or a big base camp anywhere. So you can really opt for battery powered cameras that you swap out rechargeable batteries for. That doesn't require a generator to run at all. There's a lot of lighting options out there now, specifically LED lights that have really long run times that are rechargeable. There are small portable battery options you can rent instead of a generator that can help you recharge things while you're on the go. So those are available across Canada. Depending on where you are, the availability is a little bit different. There's a lot available in BC. We're getting there here in Ontario and in other regions. You know, we're actually working with these different jurisdictions to try and get the supply there to make sure that everybody across Canada can access these different options. I think also opting for locations that have a grid tie-in is one of the easiest ones. If you can tie into the grid, especially in BC, the grid is powered by almost 95% renewable energy. So you're reducing the amount of your footprint enormously by just choosing a location that has a grid tie-in rather than one where you're going to need a portable power source or even a generator.
I imagine it can be challenging for creators who work with larger teams to push back against unsustainable practices. How can they do that without making it awkward or rocking the boat?
That's a great question. And that's something that we talk about a lot with producers. I think as a producer, you're always very aware of, are people comfortable? Are we asking too much? Are we asking for things outside of people's job descriptions? Of course, that's a big consideration in our industry. So I think some things for producers to think about are, again, the culture that you set at the beginning. So are you asking people to go out of their comfort zone to try something new, or are you empowering them to think about their own role and the things that they touch and the things that they do in their role, and asking them to maybe think about how they could do that a little bit more sustainably or less wastefully.
One thing that comes up in the sustainability conversation is concerns about greenwashing. So how can creators avoid accusations of greenwashing? And for those people who maybe aren't familiar with their term, perhaps you can share a definition.
Sure. So greenwashing is a phenomenon, let's call it, where a company will claim it's carbon neutral or it's really sustainable, but in fact, it's actually not doing those things behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So it'll pick something like, we've removed paper from our pipeline, and then make some big claim that that's really sustainable and therefore they're a sustainable company. Whereas behind the scenes, there's still a lot of waste happening and a lot of emissions in their carbon footprint. So we, of course, don't want anyone to fall trapped to greenwashing. And the way that we suggest that is firstly, to be earnest in your efforts. So really look at what you can do. There's a lot of things that a content creator can do to make sustainable choices. And if you make those in earnest and from a place of real values, that's a really great place to start. Now, how you communicate that is important later on so that you don't fall trapped to greenwashing. You want to be honest with what you've done. You want to be honest with maybe the things that you wanted to do but couldn't. And you want to report on your efforts in an accurate way. And so when you do that, we talk about a carbon footprint. You can have a carbon footprint for your production. There are different tools that you can use. For example, one of them is called Albert. It's a carbon calculator for the media industry. It's out of the UK. And you can enter all of the activities of your production and get an accurate footprint for all of the emissions that came out of your production. So doing something like that gives you the data to actually back up your efforts and to say, we opted for a grid tie-in, which has this amount of emissions, instead of a generator, which has that amount of emissions. So you could pretty safely say, we reduced our production's emissions by X by choosing a location with a grid tie-in over a generator. So having some data to back you up is helpful in case anybody ever wants to dive deeper into the sustainability initiatives that you've said you've done. And a carbon calculator and a carbon footprint is a great way to do that.
To kind of wrap everything up that we've talked about today, what would you say to a creator who's wondering if they can really create great content without harming the planet?
I think that we can all create content without harming the planet. I think that it always has to be a balance of what you're putting on screen versus what it costs you to do that. So if you are putting positive behaviors on screen, if you are incorporating a climate beat into your content, and at the same time behind the camera, you are making all the sustainable choices that are available to you that you're able to do by reducing the emissions as much as possible, empowering your team to make sustainable choices in their own work, I think that is always a great place to start, and you can't go wrong with that. As content creators, we have a lot of power to influence behavior and influence what is considered normal in our day and age. So choosing to make sure that the climate gets a fair representation on screen and that climate change and the climate crisis are accurately reflected on screen, we hold a lot of power in doing that. And so whatever emissions we might produce to get to there have to be balanced, because there's a lot of impact with making sure that the climate crisis is being adequately talked about.
I love the fact that you used the term things that are normal, because I think it's important to reference that it might be normal in the industry, but it doesn't mean we can't do better.
Absolutely. And we always say better doesn't need to be 50% better. You don't have to reduce your carbon footprint by 50%. Even if you reduce it by 10%, that's still better than not reducing it at all. So don't be scared by what might feel like big changes that are hard to figure out how to do, or maybe you're getting resistance from your crew. Just start with the things that are easy. Get that first 10%. And then on the next one, do another 10% and work your way up. And that's really how sustainable behavior change happens, without making people feel too uncomfortable and without changing things so that it feels hard.
This has been a really inspiring conversation, Angelica, but we're almost out of time. So I'd love to wrap with perhaps some resources for creators who want to dig a little bit deeper into green productions. Do you have any recommendations?
Absolutely. So the first one I've mentioned is the Emerging Producer Guide. We created this guide with Telus Story Hive. They were a great partner to really target this group of content creators that don't have a lot of resources out there. So that is a great guide to start with. And we're really grateful to Telus Story Hive for getting that going with us. Other resources for the industry are, for example, DGC Green has a great website with a couple of free tools for producers. On dgcgreen.ca, you have a fuel calculator so you can understand the emissions of your fuel budget. There's a materials calculator as well so you can start to understand the different emissions that come with the various materials that you might be using. And CBC is also a great resource. They are really busy with, of course, elevating Canadian content, but also trying to tell real and honest climate stories. So there are resources on the CBC website related to sustainable productions, but also related to getting some of that climate content on screen.
Well, really appreciate the plug for that Producing for the Planet guide. Thank you again for joining us today on First Frame.
Thank you so much. It was great to talk to you both and to talk more about sustainability in the media industry.
Wow, there is a lot more for creators to consider than I expected in this episode, Cam. I think what surprised me the most is the number of examples that we were given today that are things that we don't think about. We're so ingrained to just get in our car and use our car or eat food and throw away whatever we're not eating. So the fact that she has brought up so many examples of very simple, small changes that creators can make during their productions that are going to make considerable impact. What was your big takeaway?
I have to agree with you. I think it's making smart choices. That was clear that just a few small choices can make quite a big impact on the environment. Yes. And then also, I think what I really took away is that creators don't have to start in this massive, you know, I'm going to change the entire way I do my production. She mentioned like start small, make like baby steps, and then it'll continue to compound and make a bigger impact from the environment in the future. So just continue to work on it.
And hopefully by doing that in future, it just becomes second nature. That's it for this episode of First Frame, brought to you by Telus Story Hive. Thanks so much to you, our viewers and listeners, for joining us.
Please hit follow so you don't miss a single thing. And if you'd like to learn more about how Telus Story Hive can help you along your content creation journey, check out storyhive.com.
Until next time, I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. That's a wrap.